Send it in.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Puckett Send It In podcast here at Lemon City Live, where we are covering the Florida Panthers Hockey Club. I am Jake Gibson alongside my friend and co-host Alex Krutchik. We both cover the Florida Panthers for Lemon City Live, and we join you in the midst of what has been overall an amazing season that has recently had some ups and some downs. So definitely an interesting spot to get this show going for the Florida Panthers. But Alex, all things considered, I'm just happy to get this show going at a very interesting time.
Of course, Jake. Excited to be going through this project with you. I think it's going to be a great time. As for what is going on right now in Pantherland, we're starting this up at a kind of an inopportune time, or maybe it's the best time, depending on...
It could be either or, depending on how you look at it, you know?
Yeah, they've definitely given us a lot to talk about. I don't know if it's good things, but this is the first time all year that they've looked this bad. They're currently on a 3-game losing streak, most recently losing to the Nashville Predators 3-0. These Panthers, they're a defensive-minded team, but they don't get shut out a whole lot. We'll get more into the details of what happened on Thursday night, but yeah, just overall not a great 3 games, and they go to Madison Square Garden of all places Saturday night, 8:00, Midtown Manhattan, a place where they haven't historically played well. But last time
nationally televised game as well, that's going to be on ABC, and it's an opponent that the Florida Panthers took on back in the beginning of March. Now they're taking him on again, same place. But before we get into the road ahead, we got to look back and even further back than this recent 3-game losing streak. We need to go back all the way to mid-January. It was that point in the season where we're coming off an 8-game winning streak. Florida went on to lose four straight games to New Jersey, Anaheim, and Detroit. Both those games were in overtime, and to Minnesota. After that game, they went on an absolute tear, solidifying themselves as one of the best teams in hockey, winning four straight, losing to Philadelphia, and just continually finding ways to win games. If they weren't blowing out a team like, for example, Tampa Bay, they won 9-2 back in mid-February. They were winning clutch games in overtime against Ottawa and Washington. And then this all led towards that game in Carolina back on the 14th of March, where they lost 4-0. Probably, I'd say, one of the worst performances of the season for Florida. And granted, Carolina is an amazing team. And this losing streak as of late has all been against some of the better opponents in the National Hockey League. They scraped by Dallas, that amazing comeback win against the Dallas Stars. Then you lose to Carolina. You lose to Tampa Bay at home, which is absolutely a trap game for Florida because they'd beaten them by 9 goals earlier in the season. And then you lose, again, another tough loss to Nashville. So with the history being acknowledged here, the past would tell you that, okay, maybe Florida is in another 3-4-game slump, but that times will be getting better for Florida. At the same time, though, Alex, the opponents are only going to get tougher and tougher as this season progresses into March. And before you know it, man, we're going to be talking Stanley Cup playoffs here soon.
Yeah, Jake. One thing that stood out to me during that slump that you mentioned back in January, was it? What I noticed was that they never stopped playing their style of game. There were times where they couldn't seem to execute for one reason or another, or they would make silly mistakes, but they were playing their style of game. These last couple of games, and there's reasons for it, and I'll mention it in a minute. These last few games, they seem to have not even been playing their style of hockey. And Paul Maurice even said yesterday, help me out if I don't quote this exactly correct, but Paul Maurice said yesterday, we're a rush team that's not playing fast enough. Is that correct?
Essentially, in layman's terms, that's what he said.
And so he even admitted, like, we're not playing the way that we want to play. Now, part of that is because they were missing two guys in their blue line, Dmytro Kulikov and Aaron Ekblad. Yes. They were also missing their center, Alexander Barkov, dealing with a lower body injury. He was a game-time decision on Thursday night against Nashville. Turned out he wasn't good enough to play. Also, just a quick update. According to Jameson Olive of FloridaPanthers.com, Paul Maurice said that Barkov will travel with the team tomorrow to New York, but is unlikely to play unless the trainers come and tell coach something different. So I think that's what's concerning me the most about these last couple of games. Whether you blame the lack of their better players or not, they're not playing Panther hockey. No. And meanwhile, in past slumps this year, you can at least say, okay, they're playing Panther hockey, but sometimes you just lose games.
Yeah. No, without a doubt, Alex. And you can say this for pretty much every team in the NHL that wants to make a Stanley Cup push. But if you really want to increase your odds, you need to stay as close to 100% healthy as you can. And unfortunately, as of late, the Panthers have not had that opportunity. Like you mentioned, Barkov and Ekblad did not play against Nashville. And while Tkachuk was cleared to go for that Nashville game, it doesn't really feel like he's at 100% either. With all that said, let's acknowledge one thing right away. The Panthers right now, they currently stand with a 45-20-4 record. They're in a so much better position than they were last year heading into the playoffs, where they were fighting for their lives just to make it in. And then, of course, they had that amazing Stanley Cup run to get all the way to the finals, just only to lose to Vegas. That feels like a lifetime ago already. This has been a crazy season. That feels like it was ages ago. But with all of this said, the Panthers are still in an amazing spot. Even they can afford a slump like this. Granted, I know the team doesn't want to be in a slump, obviously, but they've put themselves in such a great spot where they're almost guaranteed a playoff spot, regardless of what happens. And it feels good to be in this spot after stressing out as much as we did last year, thinking that, oh, maybe Pittsburgh was going to get that final spot. Oh, maybe it was going to be someone else. And Florida, you know, they wouldn't have even gotten in. But the talent for this team speaks for itself, right, Alex? You have Mr. Reliable, Matthew Tkachuk. You have Sam Reinhardt, who is I don't even know how many games Florida would have won this season without the assistance of Sam Reinhardt, who leads the team in goals with 48.
Yeah, Sam Reinhardt. Yeah. Sorry, Jake, a little bit of lag. They put themselves in a great position. They've got 94 points right now. And yeah, a lot of people on Twitter will tell you, well, they haven't clinched anything yet. They haven't actually gotten into the playoffs yet. 94 points is going to get you into the playoffs. If they lost every game for the rest of the regular season, they're still in. But Paul Maurice has said, he was asked, you know, is it easier or harder, the position that you're in right now? He said it's harder because teams are coming at them in the same position that the Panthers were in last year, where every single game was a playoff game. Believe it or not, the Panthers are already playing playoff games if you ask the other team. For example, last night, Nashville needs to win. Nashville needed this hot streak that they're on. I think there's something like they've gotten points in their last 16 or 17 games now. At least one point in their last 16 to 17 games. Every game that Nashville plays, because of how desperate they are to get into the playoffs and because of the position that they're in, every game for Nashville is a playoff game. So last night was a playoff game. And that's what makes it so challenging. And Paul Maurice has said it's harder this year because every team is playing a playoff game against us. So, yes, I think they'll be fine. But the road ahead, they've got 13 games left. The road ahead is going to be hard because every single team is going to be coming at them because they need to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. And what also made that playoff run so magical for the Florida Panthers last season was because I feel like every opponent that the Panthers took on, they didn't know what to expect from this eighth-seeded Panthers team that just squeezed by. Now everyone sort of has an idea of what they can expect. You're going to get really great performances by Tkachuk, especially if the game goes into overtime. Same thing with Carter Verhaeghe. Of course, you're going to get a reliable Barkov, and you're going to get, hopefully going to get a fantastic Sergei Bobrovsky performance at the net. But one thing that is drastically different this season compared to last year is the fact that Bobrovsky is not the only phenomenal goalie we have in case things get rough, right? In addition to Bobrovsky, you now have Anthony Stolarz, who has come into games to give Bobrovsky rest and to see what he can do. And he casually is a top five goalie in a bunch of statistics, including goals against average, save percentage, you name it. He and Bobrovsky have become an amazing goaltender duo that, again, a championship-winning team in hockey needs to have. The Panthers had that in Bobrovsky, unfortunately, until they took on the Knights, where it kind of felt like he fizzled out. If that were to happen this time, you have a reliable goalie in Stolarz. So that was I think that's the biggest difference between the Florida Panthers team then and the Florida Panthers team now. I think it's the biggest positive difference, I'd also say, for this team.
Yeah. So there's four different teams that have two goalies in the top 15 for goals saved above expected per 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is the Florida Panthers. It's the Winnipeg Jets with Laurent Brossoit and Connor Hellebuck. Connor Hellebuck is a Vezina Trophy candidate this year. He's probably the favorite. You've got the New York Rangers, who are another cup contender with Jonathan Quick and Igor Shesterkin. And then you have the Bruins tandem of Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark. That's it. I've said this to you in the past, like a couple weeks ago. This team has two starting goaltenders. Anthony Stolarz, at least this year, he's not a really good backup. He's just another starter.
Yeah.
Knock on wood, but if Sergei Bobrovsky went down right now, I'd be fine with Stolarz getting time, with Stolarz getting starts throughout the playoffs. I'd rather have Bobrovsky in there still because of his pedigree, but it wouldn't be the end of the world.
There are some teams in the NHL right now who would be begging just to have one reliable starting goalie. Of course, you have teams like, you know, Chicago, Anaheim, and San Jose who have already been eliminated. It's crazy to have two goalies that are absolutely worthy of being starters. And to have that reliability at the net, especially Bobrovsky, who obviously has a bunch of experience. And this whole team, for the most part, has postseason/championship experience. So you also have that backing you this season. And most recently, again, everyone can spew a bunch of reasons as to why the Florida Panthers have been on a struggle as of late. I feel like a very small but still relatively significant part of that can be that the Panthers are still sort of working out how to fit their newest player into whatever line they feel is best for him. That, of course, being Vladimir Tarasenko, who they acquired not that long ago. He has championship experience. He is a reliable goal scorer. He has been for years now, and the Florida Panthers made this push. Didn't have to give up much, only a couple of late-round draft picks in order to bring in a player that you and I had talked about. You can pretty much put on any line, and he'll give you reliable service. And again, Paul Maurice and this team want to figure out where exactly is the best fit for him on this squad. And they're experimenting. And again, it hasn't worked out as of yet, but I still feel like, at the end of the day, Tarasenko is going to provide some scoring depth that, especially for what they had to give for him, I mean, you can't be mad about.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one thing that people were concerned about with getting anyone, not just Tarasenko, but anyone at the trade deadline, was are they going to mess with the chemistry at all? So far, you're right. They haven't seemed to have found a place where they can put him in. And again, it kind of goes back to the conversation we're having before where Barkov wasn't in yesterday. Now, that's just one game out of a handful of games that Tarasenko's already been here for. But yeah, they've just in the last 48 hours, they've changed up the lines multiple times. They've put the lines in a blender. To start last night's game, Tarasenko was on the third line with Cousins and Lusterainen. For morning skate today, Tarasenko was on the third line with Evan Rodriguez and Kevin Stenland. So they just keep pushing the blender button, just keep mixing them around and seeing who he does best with. Yeah, he came in that second game that he played here. You know, he got the two goals. He got the assist against Calgary, and that was great. He's got no points in the last four games. So that's definitely something they've got to get working. Yeah. I wonder, and I wish that I was going to New York tomorrow so I could ask Paul Maurice this, but
don't we all?
how do I say this? How do you balance the idea of I got to switch up the lines as often as I can until Tarasenko finally clicks versus, okay, Tarasenko might hit, but what if it messes up what everyone else is doing here? So they've got to find a match for Tarasenko without taking production away from anyone else. So far, they haven't seemed to be able to do that.
Edwin Garcia, who's in the chat. Hey, Edwin, he's asking, is it a disappointment if the Cats don't get the number one seed? Hell no.
I'll tell you.
Absolutely not.
I'll do you one better. I hope the Cats don't get the number one seed. I certainly hope they don't get the President's Trophy. I don't want that thing.
Jonathan agrees. The Panthers don't need the President's Trophy.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Edwin, they're having a mini conversation right now. They're saying, lol, I'm not used to all this winning. That's fine. But, yeah.
Keep that thing away from us.
They do not need the number one seed. If they were to get into the finals last year as the eighth seed, they just want to get into the playoffs and succeed whoever they take on. It doesn't really matter who exactly, like, the seeding. And, yeah, as you had mentioned, it feels like the President's Trophy is a curse. And it just look to the past. The Panthers had the President's Trophy a couple years ago. They got bounced in the second round to Tampa. Boston got the President's Trophy last year and got beaten in seven games by this Panthers team. But let's also acknowledge another thing, by the way, because some people online like to say, oh, the Panthers must be purposely losing games just to make sure they don't get the President's Trophy. Nobody purposely loses games in sports, let alone the NHL. That does not happen, all right? They're not purposely losing games. It's always such a stupid thing to see online. They must be purposely – no, they're not. It's just they're in a slump right now. Boston, again, is a great team, is, again, having another fantastic season. Maybe not to the extent that it was last year, but they're still a very well-built team that Florida's probably going to have to deal with in the Stanley Cup Stanley Cup playoffs. So it's not a disappointment. Edwin, to answer your question, I think both of us are in agreement. It does not matter if the Cats don't get the number one seed. They just need to get into the playoffs and make sure that they don't play down to their competition in the first round, whoever they get matched up with. If the playoffs were to end now, by the way, the Florida would be taking on a very good Toronto team, which would definitely sting. I know that for the last while, if the season were to end, Florida would be taking on Philadelphia instead. Obviously, things can switch because there's still plenty of hockey left to be played before the regular season. But you're looking at probably either Toronto or Philadelphia as your first round opponent for Florida. Toronto definitely is a scary team. Carolina is a scary team. Tampa Bay obviously is always going to be good in the postseason. So that's pretty much a glimpse of what Florida might be taking on. So
yeah, and the other thing that you alluded to before, Jake, hockey is such a weird sport, and it really does have the best postseason because anyone can beat anyone, and it's fairly common. Not common. I take that back. It's not common, but it's not rare at all. So this idea that, like, oh, you want to get a higher seed so that you can have a better path, there really is no easy path. There's no easy path. Let's take, again, Nashville, for example. For some reason, Nashville is in the Western Conference. If they were in the Eastern Conference, they're coming in as the eighth seed right now. I don't want to play them. I don't want to play them at all.
No, of course not.
Like I mentioned earlier, they've gotten points in their last 16 or 17 games. There's just simply no easy path regardless. So I would I would prioritize health over getting a higher seed. Just make sure that everyone is healthy going into the postseason and just go for it from there.
Kind of sounds like a broken record when we were talking about the Dolphins in the playoffs, how they had to stay healthy if they wanted to go to the Super Bowl, and yeah, they didn't. So hopefully the Florida Panthers can evade that. I know the Nashville game was the most recent game that has occurred for the Panthers, but I do want to quickly go back to their 5-3 loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning not that long ago. What was very frustrating in that game, aside from, you know, 50 shots on goal and only putting up three goals because Vasilevsky, or not, was it Vasilevsky? I need to double check. It was Vasilevsky. He had one of his most premium games ever, and of course it's against Florida, a team he naturally does really good against. But even more disappointing than that was the amount of power play opportunities that Florida had in that game. They had seven. Funny enough, Tampa also had seven, but that's beside the point. Then they only managed one power play goal off of that. That was something that was killer against the Panthers, against Vegas in the Stanley Cup Finals last year, was their inability to score in the power play. I think for the most part, Florida has done a better job this season with the power play. They have a weird statistic where they're sort of an average middle of the road, maybe even below average. They have like a below average power play percentage at home, but they have like the – or no, this is penalty kill, my bad. But overall, their ability to score on the power play has gotten better, and a big part of that has been Sam Reinhart and his ability to just stand right in front of the net and get the perfect pass from Tkachuk or somebody else and just dominate in that department. But still, there are games such as the one against the Lightning not that long ago where, yeah, the power play sort of went back to what we saw in the Stanley Cup Finals last season, where it's not good enough. And that's something, again, they need to really focus on and make sure that they have down prior to this postseason, because we can't have something like that happen again.
And that was a big reason why they brought in Tarasenko. Obviously, it was just for the regular offense just in general, but it was very much to help out Sam Bennett on that second power play. First power play looks fine. It's always either Tkachuk or Reinhart. It's usually Tkachuk to Reinhart down there in the bumper position for him.
Yeah,
they wanted to get Bennett some help on the second power play. So far, it hasn't come. I think that the Panthers have to be disappointed so far in the lack of production, especially from that second power play unit so far.
Yeah.
Again, it's only been five games. They've got 13 games to figure it all out. That's the good thing about the position that they're in right now. They can kind of use these next 13 games as practice for what they're going to do in the playoffs, because they don't have it locked down, but they've got a pretty locked down. Just use it as practice, because all that matters is the playoffs. So you just hope that the power play, especially that second power play unit with your new addition up there, you can get it online before the start of the playoffs.
Just to clarify, the Florida Panthers are tied for the third best overall power play percentage. They're tied with Carolina at 26.2%. Edmonton is in second, 26.6, and Tampa is in first, 28.9, which is good. Florida also has maybe actually not a great stat. Florida has the second most penalty minutes in the NHL at looking at 931. The only team that has more is Anaheim, and no surprise there, Anaheim's eliminated from the playoffs. So, that's not a great stat, but regardless, definitely, and I mentioned this earlier, thankfully, despite having all those accumulated penalty minutes, Florida is one of the best penalty kill teams in the NHL. As I mentioned earlier, they're kind of below average at home for whatever reason, but on the road, they are literally the best team with the penalty kill on the road. And considering that Florida, aside from priding themselves as the Cardiac Cats, are also some really good road warriors, they are very good on the road. And that, again, was a big reason how they made it to the Stanley Cups last season, because they really made those road games against Boston and Carolina and Toronto count. So definitely, but overall, most of Florida's statistics up to this point in the season are really, really good. That's why they have a 45-20 record. The ones that we mentioned that they're struggling with, they can resolve if they get healthy. Hopefully, what was the most recent timetable for Ekblad, by the way? Have they really mentioned, have Florida really mentioned that on what his potential return could be?
I haven't seen a timetable on that yet. But here, while you look that up, I do want to get back into the penalty kill thing. That's kind of an MO of Paul Maurice, is that his teams, especially his Florida teams the last couple of years, they're going to get in the box a lot. Like, that's just the kind of way that they play. And I don't think Paul Maurice particularly cares much. Like, I don't think it's a point of emphasis to stop committing penalties. I think it's more about commit penalties because it's part of your game, but you better be able to stop the power play. This year, they've done a really good job of that, as you've mentioned. Last year, and this was why they struggled so much during the regular season, last year, they committed pretty much the same amount of penalties. I don't know what the exact number was last year compared to this year, but it was a lot of penalties. But they weren't able to kill the power play. Right? Yeah. They were third worst in the league last year. So that's a huge difference between last year versus this year. They're still committing penalties, but they actually know how to stop it. They know how to stop the power play, rather.
So Maurice had – so I think the last update that Paul Maurice provided on Ekblad was actually last week when he had said that he'd be out at least 2 weeks following that very scary knee injury that he had. This past Monday, Ekblad did resume skating on the ice. He took part in solo drills, wore a tracksuit. He took some shots on the great Roberto Luongo. So he is making progress. And if what Paul Maurice, if what he said is true, then he should be back like in a week. So he should be. So the big point is that he should be back for the postseason, which I mean, sometimes I've taken for granted how important Ekblad is specifically for the defense on this Florida Panthers team until you lose him. And this recent losing streak has sort of really proven that yeah, Ekblad is a really good defenseman for the Florida Panthers. And I don't want to hear any Ekblad slander from anybody on social media. He does mean a lot to this team still.
He does. And more than that, perhaps, is just the fact that the defense hasn't been playing with each other a whole lot because of the Ekblad injury, because of the Dmitry Kulikov 2-game suspension, which, by the way, tomorrow's game against New York is going to be game 2, and then he'll finally be back against Boston on Tuesday. But, yeah, and Paul Maurice has said earlier in the season, I'm not going to change the defensive pairings too much because it is so important for them to know how to play together. You can say the same thing about the forwards, obviously, but more so for the defense. And you saw, when there's no suspensions, when there's no injuries, the defensive pairings this entire season has pretty much been the same, other than when Montour and Ekblad were out, of course. But even when they were out, the pairings without them were still the same. And then when they came back, they switched up the pairings to get them both back in, and they were pretty much the same again. Almost every single game, with a couple of exceptions here and there. But for the most part, you can write it in pen what the defensive pairings would be every night. And that's a huge reason that they were so good. Even without Ekblad. Without Ekblad and Montour, they were doing just fine because they had that consistency. So I do hope that Ekblad can come back sometime before the playoffs, just that they can get a few more games as reps together.
Jonathan says here, having so many players out right now, Barkov, Ekblad, and others, makes a huge difference in team chemistry. And he specifically highlights that Nick Cousins is not the answer. I believe earlier he said, Barkov sitting makes a big difference in team chemistry. Kyle Okposo isn't the same player he was years ago. He's slower. You're not wrong. And like we mentioned, and like we had mentioned, hopefully we're going to get these players back sooner than later, so that they can pretty much make sure that what they have going is going to work when they get into the postseason. Edwin Garcia asks, is tomorrow's game a must win? If the skid grows to 4 games, should I start to panic? Hell no. It is not panic time yet. If Florida loses out, if Florida doesn't win another game, but still gets in the playoffs, then yeah, okay, maybe you can panic a little, but listen. We're not seeing the Florida Panthers at their best right now. We're just not. And it's not Florida's fault. When you have arguably the best player in team history, Alexander Barkov out, yeah, that's going to shake up this Panthers team. And again, you have missed a reliable defenseman, Aaron Ekblad, out. That's going to make things bad as well. Could you say that Bobrovsky is in a skid as of late? I think you could. And again, that's why you have a goalie like Stolarz. I wouldn't be shocked if when they take on either the Rangers or the Flyers after that, they'll put in Stolarz for one of those two, probably the Flyers game, just to make sure that he's not getting rusty as the season winds down. And then you have that really big matchup at home against Boston on the 26th, which definitely all eyes are going to be on that game. Maybe an Eastern Conference final preview. Who knows? So, Edwin, don't panic. Listen, we're bummed that the Panthers have been on the three-game skid that they are, but at the end of the day, it's a three-game skid. They're coming off. How many games did they win in a row starting in late February? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then if you take away that loss against Carolina, they won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They've won 12 of their last 13 prior to this three-game skid that they're on. I think the Panthers are going to be okay in the long run, all right? Right, Alex? They're going to be all right in the long run.
Exactly. Look, yes, they pride themselves on a next-man-up mentality, and that's great. You know, oh, we don't make excuses here. We got to win no matter who's on the ice. They were missing Alexander Barkov last night.
Yes.
It's fine. It's fine. It's okay. Specifically, I'll give you one reason why missing Barkov sucks, aside from, like, the obvious. They were losing a lot of faceoffs last night. Like, Nashville, I think, had a 53% faceoff win percentage by the end of the game. But at one point, pretty deep into the game, they were winning the faceoff battle, like 70% to 30%. And you saw it translate into the amount of time that each team was spending in the offensive zone. The Panthers could barely maintain possession or get possession in the first place. Alexander Barkov fixes that problem.
Yeah,
I think they're going to be fine. They do have some hard opponents coming up. They've got the Rangers. They've got the Bruins, who are currently the one seed. They've got the Philadelphia Flyers coming in. The Flyers are a playoff team. You've got the Islanders. They're also are they a playoff team, or are they knocking on the door? They were kind of getting hot for a second. I think they fell out of it. They fell out of it. They're not in the playoffs anymore.
So the Eastern – here's what the Eastern
Conference – but they were hot for a moment.
Yeah. Eastern Conference, you're looking at Boston, Florida, and Toronto. The Rangers, Carolina, Philadelphia. And at your wild card, you have Tampa Bay and Detroit. It's Washington, the Islanders, and the Devils looking from the outside. Western Conference, you have Winnipeg, Colorado, and Dallas, Vancouver, Edmonton, and Los Angeles. And you have Nashville and Vegas in your wild card. And it's St. Louis, Minnesota, and Calgary looking from the outside. And like we had mentioned, the Eastern Conference, by the way, is an absolute wagon compared to the West so far this season. I'd say you already have three eliminated teams in the Western Conference. No team technically has been eliminated in the Eastern Conference yet. So it's going to make the finale of the regular season very interesting to see who gets into those 7 and 8 spots. But one thing I really do feel like one thing that we're going to have the privilege of this season is not really worrying about if Florida's going to make it into the playoffs. We've already said that with 94 points. Yeah, they're going to get in. They're going to get in. So, by the way, the Nashville Predators, by the way, are 14-0-2 since the team was not allowed to see U2 at the Las Vegas Sphere when they took on Vegas a while ago. So the Predators are on a mission right now. And so good for them. I don't have a problem with Nashville, so... Yeah.
If they win the cup, they definitely have to go party at the Sphere one night.
Yeah, finally made it. I got to go to Vegas for Super Bowl. I did not get a chance to go to the Sphere. Oh, is that our mascot, Alex? That cat that walked by? Is that the mascot of the
That's one of the Florida Panthers right there.
Okay.
He heard us talking about cats and he thought that I was talking about him.
So again, let's look a bit to what's coming up for Florida. We had already mentioned they're going to go on the road for a couple of games. They're going to take on the New York Rangers tomorrow at 8:00. That again, nationally televised game. That's an ABC game, so definitely tune in, no matter where you are. They're taking on Philadelphia after that on Sunday. Again, back to backs, which I know the players don't love, but I mean, at least traveling from New York to Philadelphia is not a very lengthy road trip, so it is what it is. Then they're going to come back home for a three-game homestand starting on Tuesday, March 26, when they take on the Boston Bruins. Then they'll host the Islanders and Detroit, and then so on and so forth. Looking a bit more as to what the rest of the NHL is doing right now, there's like four games going on right now, so we'll see how that goes. As we start to wrap up here, let's do something fun, Alex. Let's predict the Saturday slate in the NHL, obviously including that game against the Panthers and the Rangers, which we'll save for the end. How does that sound?
Sure.
So let's start off with we'll start off with the early games and get to the end, and obviously save Florida for last. Let's do Winnipeg at the New York Islanders.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It is a good one.
I think the Islanders are going to get it. I think they're desperate for a win. They were there. They were getting hot. They've kind of cooled off, and I think they're desperate for a win. I think they'll get that one.
Yeah, I think Winnipeg. Yeah, Winnipeg is on overall a very fantastic team, and the Islanders have been all right. But I feel like I'll take the Winnipeg Jets on this one. I feel good about them for some reason. So next up, you have Boston taking on the Philadelphia Flyers. Again, another really good game against two playoff caliber teams. As much as I don't want to pick them, I'll go with the Bruins just because they're, I don't know, I feel like one thing that Boston prides themselves is doing really good against some of the other best teams in the NHL. You could say the same thing for an opponent like Tampa. They play their best hockey. They absolutely play up to their competition better than most other teams in hockey. So I'll go with Boston on that one.
I'll probably go with Boston as well. I they're the kind of team that just takes care of business. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to let Philly beat them around.
So next up, you have the St. Louis Blues taking on the Minnesota Wild. This is a very big game because both St. Louis and Minnesota are the two teams that are out of the wild card right now. So whoever wins this is going to really help themselves as they try to get into the playoffs. And they're two very even teams, so it's one of the, I think it's one of those cases where I'm just going to have to go with the home team on this one, so I'll take the Wild.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Wild. They got real embarrassed in L.A. a couple nights ago, shut out 6-0. I don't think they're going to take too kindly. I think they're going to take it out on St. Louis.
The best part about the late stretch of the regular season is that you really get a lot more potential playoff caliber opponents going up against each other. That's just how scheduling kind of works. Such is the case when the Detroit Red Wings take on the Nashville Predators. Both teams are in wild card positions, but they're again, Nashville has been on a tear and they're back home as well. So I'll go with Nashville just to be safe. It's kind of a boring pick, but I'll go Nashville.
So you know that thing of when you lose a bunch of times and then you think, oh, well, I'm due now.
Right.
I think that Nashville, it's the opposite for them. Like, eventually they've got to lose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it might be an overtime. Like, they'll still get their point. But I think their time is finally up.
So, wait, who are you taking?
I'm taking Detroit.
Oh, okay. I don't hate it. I don't hate the pick, Alex. Now, this is probably going to be the best matchup of Saturday. Two very high-quality opponents. If something terrible happens to Florida, you could say that this is potentially a Stanley Cup Finals preview. It is the Edmonton Oilers taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs at 7:00. My God, that is going to be a fun game to watch. It starts an hour before the Panthers-Rangers game, so you can actually see it. It's a toss-up. I'm not going to lie. It is an absolute toss-up. Both these teams are in great positions similar to Florida. I think it's, again, kind of a boring pick, but because Toronto's at home, I'll go with the Maple Leafs. But I will not be surprised at all if Edmonton comes in and takes that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Oilers just because I can't bet against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I just can't do it.
Mm. I respect it. I respect it. So, next up, we got Ottawa. The Ottawa Senators at the New Jersey Devils. Ottawa is in a really bad spot right now. All things considered, they're essentially going to try to play spoiler against the New Jersey Devils, who are, again, looking to get into the playoffs. You know what? Just because it'd be super funny and because I feel like New Jersey is due for a really bad loss because they're New Jersey, I'll go with Ottawa on this one in the upset.
I think I'll go with Ottawa, too. New Jersey's just been a mess lately. They
have been a mess.
I can't trust them at all.
Yeah. So – at 8:00 is Florida. We'll save that for the end. Next up, the Calgary Flames are taking on the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver has sort of solidified themselves as one of the best teams, if not the best team right now in the Western Conference. And they really can't afford to lose games like these, and they usually don't. So I'll take Vancouver in that one. Not too much to say.
Yeah, I'll take Vancouver on that as well. I just can't see anyone. Any given night, I can't see them lose.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. So the Columbus Blue Jackets are heading to Vegas to take on the Golden Knights. You know, for as rough a start to the season as Vegas has had, I mean, they're kind of chilling with the final spot in the wild card through it all. And I don't know. Columbus is the worst team in the Eastern Conference by record. So, yeah, I'd like to say it's an upset. Oh, quick question, Alex. Do we hate the Vegas Golden Knights or are we still like, kind of indifferent?
You know what's weird? They're the weirdest team that I hate because I don't hate any of their players.
Yeah, they're cool.
I've never met any fan of the Golden Knights.
Okay.
I haven't had any bad interactions with a Golden Knights fan on Twitter.
Okay.
But for some reason, I just can't stand them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the big reason is, you know, the obvious reason is obvious, but I don't know. It's tough to say. I went to a Golden Knights game when I was in Vegas. They were taking on the Minnesota Wild. It was the Monday after the Super Bowl. The Vegas fans were friendly. Obviously the experience was being there was fun. The pregame show they do is always super entertaining. And even though they ended up losing, it was still a great crowd, great energy. So I was thinking, okay, Vegas ain't bad. But you know what? I kept looking up to my left and I saw that banner, that 2023 Stanley Cup Finals banner. And all those feelings kind of went away. I was kind of reminded of what we lost. So, Jonathan, I'm kind of in agreement. Vegas is such a weird team to me because I really don't have a reason to hate them aside from the fact that, yeah, they beat us in the Stanley Cup. Anyway, so Columbus is taking on Vegas. I'll go with Vegas.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Vegas just for obvious reasons.
We got sidetracked there. But anyway, the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to out west take on the LA Kings. Again, another pretty good matchup, all things considered. Los Angeles is in a slightly better spot right now than Tampa Bay. But, I mean, again, it's kind of a toss-up. I'll go with the Tampa Bay Lightning, though, like as a sort of a road win here for Tampa. Again, the Kings are good. I just feel better about Tampa, especially because I've seen them a bit more often.
Well, I have a question for the people that are watching and in our comments. If you're at Amerant Bank Arena and the Lightning come into town for a playoff series, are you clapping for Anthony Duclair when he takes the ice for the first time, or when they show him on camera during the first TV timeout, are you clapping for him?
No one was really clapping for Duclair when Tampa took on Florida a few days ago. I was there. No one really – they didn't show like a welcome home video.
That's true. That was a home game, wasn't it?
Yeah, no one – if I'm not mistaken, Florida did not show like a, you know, welcome home Duclair video. Maybe they did that earlier in the season, and I don't remember, but
– Well, I'm sure they did. I'm saying, does it change anything when he's wearing, you know, that jersey?
No. And the reason is nothing is worse, again, aside from maybe Vegas, nothing is worse, as a Panthers fan, nothing is worse than seeing a Vegas postseason, Tampa postseason team, considering the history there, the not great history there between Florida and Tampa Bay in the playoffs.
And the reason I bring up Duclair is because in my prediction for this game, I think that Tampa's gotten so hot since Duclair got there, and I'm so mad about it. Because he really might be the missing piece for them. Like, he really might be the guy. So, because of that, I'm going to take Tampa in that game.
Not a bad pick. So, and the final game before we get to Florida is the Chicago Blackhawks taking on the San Jose Sharks. This is the battle of mid, the battle of eliminated teams. So, I mean, I think Connor Bedard has an excellent future in Chicago, but he's just like Victor Wembanyama in the Spurs. He's amazing, but the rest of the team is just so inexplicably bad that they still have not been able to do anything. And San Jose is San Jose. Just for the laughs, I'll go with the Sharks because, I don't know, they're cool.
Yeah, I'll go with that as well. Just think it's funny when the Sharks win. It's like the Pistons.
Yeah. So, all right. So let's cap it off with our game, the Florida Panthers taking on the New York Rangers. Man, this would be one hell of a game for the Panthers to get back on track with. New York is entering this game, by the way. They've won three of their last four. They are coming off a very impressive road win against the Boston Bruins by a score of 5-2. So they pretty much took care of one of the best teams in hockey right now. Now they're taking on a, I wouldn't say desperate, but a reeling Florida team. These are the kind of games that Florida really puts things into high gear and will just play out of their mind and just shock the opponent. They've done that. They did that against Dallas where they were down 3-0 and came back and won that game. I don't think it's going to get to that point. I'm actually going to go with Florida. I actually feel strangely confident that the Panthers will steal one from the Rangers here. And if I had to give a score prediction, I'll go 4-2. That's the first score that came to my mind. The Panthers are going to take this one 4-2. What say you, Alex?
So, in the Panthers' latest victory against the Rangers 3 weeks ago, Paul Maurice said that it was the best game that the Panthers played all year.
Yeah.
Having said that, the Panthers are historically bad at Madison Square Garden, especially recently.
They are. They won earlier this season.
Yes. The Rangers are a really good team, and I can't imagine the Rangers coming out flat against a team that just embarrassed them just a couple weeks ago. I don't know. They're still missing Ekblad, Barkov. Everything that applied against Nashville last night is still going to be in play tomorrow. Barkov is still going to be out. Who am I thinking? Kulikov is still suspended. Ekblad is still out. My only hope is that maybe with a second game under their belt without those guys, the Panthers might latch onto some chemistry. They might find some chemistry. But if I had to pick, I'm going to say the Rangers take it tomorrow, as much as I hate to say that.
What would be your score prediction?
Well, that's a good question. I would say, based on how flat this offense has looked, I would say it might be like 2-1.
Okay. It's respectable. Hot take, bold prediction. A big reason as to why Florida will win, Tarasenko has his best game as a Panther, and he gets his first hattie. He gets his first hat trick as a Florida Panther. You heard it here first.
Going back to the Garden.
Yeah. Could you name a better arena to do that? I couldn't. So, you know, Florida wins through the power of tomfoolery and through the power of friendship. They'll get it done over the New York Rangers. So, all right. That was the first episode of the Puck It Send It In podcast, Alex. I'm hoping we make this sort of a weekly show, maybe same time, Friday at 10 o'clock, where we just get to talk some Panthers hockey. And it's only going to get better as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Exactly. Hey, next time I see you, we might be talking about a 3-game win streak.
Yeah, there you go. And then all the worries and panic about this 3-game skid will be behind us as we get Ekblad back, as Barkov is back, and this team gels itself together as they look to not get the President's Trophy, but to still have a great end to the season. But again, tomorrow, Panthers and Rangers should be a fun one. Everyone go watch that. It's at 8 o'clock. It's on ABC. So until next time, this was the debut episode of the Puck It Send It In podcast. Good night, everybody.
Send It In.